You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Lights. Camera. Action. It's the KSL Movie Show.
That is a stupid design, and your instructions were very unclear.
The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Andy Farnsworth and Steve Sales.
These curious creatures crawl, creep, and climb their way through life.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
You know, the saying about March is that it goes in like a lion and out like a lamb. You've heard that before, right, Steve?
Yeah.
Well, at the Hollywood box office, March came in like a lion with Dune Part 2.
True.
And then it kept going like a lion with Ghostbusters.
Yes.
And now it's going out with another big movie. So it come in like a lion and out like a giant lizard that can breathe fire.
And in Dayglow Pink.
And, you know,
not
it's
suggesting
also,
anything other than he just bright.
It's going out just as loud as well, which
big,
we will get to
loud.
As we on the movie show today are going to talk about our big movie, Godzilla Times Kong, The New Empire.
Equals disaster.
What is that?
Kong can't stop this on his own.
He won't be alone.
The last time those two met up, it was almost the end of Kong.
They don't have to like each other. We just have to work together.
All right. So when I say this is one of the loudest movies I've ever seen, this is one of the loudest movies that I've ever seen.
Okay.
So it's called Godzilla Times Kong, The New Empire, and it's another massive-sized movie between two massive, they're called titans in the movie, yeah. And that I think that's a really apt description. And this time, instead of battling each other like they did in Godzilla versus Kong,
although they do slap each other around a little bit,
they still have some unresolved issues between the two of them. This time, though, they battle, well, basically an evil King Kong and a thing that looks a lot like Godzilla, only it shoots ice out of its mouth instead of fire.
Yeah, I thought either one of them could have handled this group, but they figured, hey, let's make a buddy cop movie. And even though they don't like each other, they're going to work together.
It doesn't look as cool on the poster if they're not working together.
Well, they're both running.
Because like, they're both running, you know,
I kept waiting
animated.
For one of them to punch the other one like
Hulk and Thor.
Yeah.
That actually would have been
that
really
That would have been hilarious.
So what do we end up getting with these battles? A lot of noisy destruction, lots of roaring, punching, roaring, grunting, pyramids getting toppled.
Oh, they just
and
ruined
also
Giza.
Roaring,
come on, dude.
And, and most of Rio de Janeiro.
And how about the poor little Colosseum in Rome?
Well, that's more of a bed.
Yeah, that's his little doggy bed. But even when he gets up to leave the doggy bed, he
do you
kicks
think?
Over
yeah,
a
I was
wall.
Gonna say I don't
dude,
think he gingerly steps he over
did
the
not.
Edge.
He kicked part of it down.
Maybe that's why it has that sort of jagged portion. Was Godzilla has been sleeping there for a long time, and he gets up in the morning before everybody notices.
And he's still groggy.
And he's still so he stumbles around a little bit till he's had his morning cup of Italian coffee.
Okay, so how does this compare to Godzilla Minus One?
Well, I don't think you can compare them one to one. And the main thing is for this one, the characters are there as a transition between fight scenes.
Yeah, they're expositional pretty much only.
Yes, and as artistically and colorful as Hollow Earth. I kept trying to call it Middle Earth, but all the Tolkien fans would punch me if I did that.
The wrong Earth.
Especially hooking it up with this. But the human characters are secondary, and that's what the difference is between Godzilla Minus One and this is the human characters are 100% secondary, and that's Rebecca Hall, that's Dan Stevens,
Brian Tyree Henry.
I mean, these aren't untalented actors.
No.
But they just aren't given that much to do, and of course, you know, the young girl, I forget what the name of their tribe is, that
oh,
she was from Skull Island.
IWI.
Yeah. So, anyway, she and Kong formed a bond because they were both the last of their kind that lived on Skull Island.
And they both apparently knew American Sign Language.
Wasn't that convenient?
It was
on Skull Island. What it means is that it's really universal.
I see.
So, at any rate, there's a whole lot more. I really don't want to spoil plot points for the people, because there are people who care now,
because there aren't any.
I'm trying to be a little bit nice about this too, but I will say this: you're not going to this movie necessarily for like a human touch of the heart, which I think is why Godzilla Minus One stood out so much for me, was that it ends up touching your heart. And Godzilla was terrifying in Godzilla Minus One, and the people made you care. And, you know, as I've gotten older, you know, the Godzilla Minus One and what Godzilla represents, both to, you know, the immediate post-war, post-nuclear war Japan, and that's what he is. He's like a representation of the nuclear bombs that were dropped on Japan.
Right.
In this, he's more of like a world protector. This is the Americanized version.
Exactly.
Where we just like, let's kind of forget that we did that.
Well, they kind of had their own little corners. I mean, Kong is in Hollow Earth.
Right.
And he's bored and lonely. He just gets chased by hybrid hyenas all the time. And he's like,
wargs is what they look
this.
Like.
And then I have to crush that little lake monster and then eat him.
Yeah, so you do get plenty of battles between titans. So if you're there for the big punches, it's good. And that's what it is. You want to see massive monsters fighting massively, you get to see that.
Yes.
I would say a complaint about that, and that was the best part of the movie, and that's why you want to see it.
That's the reason they make them.
But when they go to the Hollow Middle Earth. Hollow Earth. When they go to Hollow Earth, that to me is a detriment, because you don't get the scale of them anymore. When Godzilla and Kong are punching each other through the pyramids of Giza,
oh, yeah.
That gives you immediate ideas of size and relative. But when they go to Hollow Earth, everything is massive, and there's a ton of Kongs
apes. Even go to a
and then it
subterranean
turns into Planet of the Apes.
And then but where's the sky coming from? That's what I.
Well, it's coming from both sides somehow. Mm. I don't know. That's better not asked.
Well, I'll tell you what. People that came in right before me, I call them Ozzy and Harriet, but they're more like Ozzy and Harriet's parents. I was shocked when they said, we'd like to see Kong, you know, and the times Godzilla. I'm like, oh, dear, this could be fun. I wanted to wait and see what their reaction was at the end of the movie. But, yeah, Americanized versions of King Kong and Godzilla are going to be big, spectacular,
yes.
Visual representation. The Japanese version was still a very great movie, but also included the humans, which I think made it a better film.
But I will say this, despite what I think of it, and I gave it a C+.
I give it a C.
Okay, so I give it a little bit higher. And I will say this, my 10-year-old absolutely loved it. He liked it better than Godzilla Minus One, although that might have been recency bias. No, I understand, but that's what matters. And I remember coming out of Godzilla King of the Monsters. That was the same year that Endgame came out. And there was a couple of fans that were like, oh, my gosh, that was better than Endgame. And I remember, like, trying to stifle the urge to look, give them the side eye, like,
yeah.
Are you joking me? But I'm not going to diminish that. For people who are excited to see this, I think you'll get exactly what you want. I really do.
Yeah.
For me, it just was – it was missing something. And Godzilla Minus One has set a different standard for me now this could be.
And it wouldn't be bad if they had chosen just nobody actors. You got Rebecca Hall, Dan Stevens, you know – and they have a purpose, but it's very, very limited.
So what they did is they faked his death in Downton Abbey so he could go. Wasn't he in Downton Abbey, Dan Stevens?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, in the series. I don't know. There's somebody who'll correct me on that.
Doug and Dee will.
That is our big movie. That's true. Our big movie of the week, sponsored by Paris RV. Paris RV has over 1,200 RVs in stock ready for your outdoor adventures. And they're sure to have the RV that you're looking for. So check them out at any of their 4 locations or at parisrv.com. C+, Godzilla times Kong, the new empire.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Did you know you can get the 3 things you need to know delivered right to you? Just go to KSLNewsRadio.com, click on menu, and then newsletter.
Or go to the KSL News Radio app, and you click on menu, and then it's email alerts.
This is even easier. Just text the word inbox to 57500.
Get the top national and local stories with the 3 things you need to know newsletter.
The murder of 2 men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Movie Show.
You probably think this world is a dream come true, but you're wrong.
On KSL News Radio.
Well, yesterday started the baseball season, and so on The Movie Show, we recognize that baseball movies are a part of Americana and movie history because baseball was America's pastime for many, many years.
I will say this. My Giants lost yesterday, but not as bad as the A's. They lost 8-0. So did you ever see that little cartoon with the Family Guy, the little Stewie character?
Yes.
He's got a Mets hat on, and it goes, and there's a first home run, and that's the season for the New York Mets.
Yeah, no, that's what it's like for me with the Cleveland Browns. Is you know,
it was Cleveland
about halfway through the first half of the first game. It's like, and the Browns have officially been eliminated from playoff consideration. That's what it was like for many years. But we know that there's a lot of great baseball movies. We talked about some of them on Dave and Dujanovic.
And by the way, Deb is a huge baseball fan. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, I know it now. So our question is, what is your favorite baseball movie? We'd love to hear what our listeners think, and Movie Show listeners in particular. And it looks like we actually do already have a lot of people. Here's one that we didn't mention last hour, Mr. Baseball with Tom Selleck. I did enjoy that one where he goes to Japan because he's towards the end of his career.
Right.
There are so many baseball movies to choose
from. Mr. 3000?
That was with Bernie Mac.
Bernie Mac, yes.
The Natural. Now, that's my personal favorite. There's going to be a lot of votes, I think, for three. Well, four. We'll see. The Natural, Field of Dreams.
Sandlot,
and yours.
No, I don't think
we already have a vote. Bull Durham, fave.
Oh, love that movie.
Love it. Pride of the Yankees, that's a good one.
That's a great movie.
Oh, 42, the Jackie Robinson story. How could I have forgotten that one? Oh, these are so good. So keep them coming. 57500, your favorite baseball movie. And maybe why it's your favorite baseball movie. Steve, we got to review us a movie.
Okay.
How about A Cat's Life?
Oh, I would love to, but Blue Fox never sent it to me. We didn't discuss that before the show, sorry.
Oh, no, that's right.
But I can tell you what kind of...
Tell us what it's about.
All right, so this girl adopts a cat in the city, and the family moves to the country, and the cat's like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't think he talks, but... It's
because he certainly gives that impression, or like he makes you wonder if he knows what he's doing.
He's running through the jungle and sees a lot of other animals that he is not familiar with. And so I think it's a cute little family movie called The Cat's what? Tale? Life?
Cat's Life.
Cat's Life.
Well, so we also had another one that since we're just doing ones that Asphalt City. This is one that's actually opening at a couple of at one Megaplex theater and I think one Cinemark theater.
You got me.
I found out about it because I had it on my list and I didn't hear anything about it. And it stars. Let me just pull it up here because this is one I actually wanted to see, but then ran out of time. And it's got Ty Sheridan and Sean Penn. And
wow.
Catherine Waterston. I mean, there's some decent names in this. But basically, a young paramedic played by Ty Sheridan is trying to navigate his first year on the job in New York. He's partnered with an experienced medic who kind of – it seems like it's training day for paramedics versus day for cops.
Okay.
And it, you know, causes the young paramedic Ty Sheridan's perspective to
life. Who's the distributor on this? Is Saban or something?
You know what?
Vertical?
I do not know. But it was a limited release, but we did get it in at least one theater here in Salt Lake.
Man, that didn't even make my radar. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that was one that I had on the radar, but then I didn't know if it was going to be playing anywhere, so I never found it. And then it was too late because I needed to see Kong vs. Godzilla 2 because the studio didn't screen that one for us.
Well, here's the other one.
It's so bad for us.
There's three at the Broadway right now. Ennio with about Marconi, he's the guy that was that did all the scores for Marconi.
Oh, Enrico Marconi.
Yeah, Ennio.
Ennio Marconi.
And all those spaghetti westerns, like
that
was him. That's him. There's one a movie about him. There's one about Gene Wilder, a documentary, and then there's one called Limbo. With Simon Baker was it The Mentalist?
I think so.
And it's black and white, and he's trying to solve a murder that's 20 years old.
But remembering Gene Wilder, that's one that I would have liked to see. Of all those that we've listed, I do kind of want to see Asphalt City because I like Sean Penn, and I like Ty Sheridan, and I like the idea of this. But, you know, it's Godzilla Kong week, and and it's Easter weekend, and sometimes the studios just say, we got to put it out on a day. Let's put it out on that day.
And they don't really tell us much about it until it's too late.
They really don't, and that is kind of frustrating. But we got lots of other things that we're going to talk about today. In fact, we even had one that comes to Netflix. Just a piecemeal week from our studios.
True.
So let's a couple more suggestions for favorite baseball movies. Oh, my gosh. We got 11 texts in, like, the last 3 minutes just of people with their baseball movies.
Cool.
The Rookie. Not
the Rookie.
Rookie of the Year.
No, this
the Rookie,
is
the Dennis Quaid
Dennis
movie.
Dennis Quaid, yeah, where he gets Tommy John surgery and he can throw 97 miles an hour.
Yep. And then the Stratton story. Do you know that one?
Dorothy
was the one
Stratton.
From last year, I think. Not Ricky Stratton, that's Silver Spoons. But the one that we saw last year where the kid, his dad's a preacher, Dennis Quaid is the preacher.
Oh, yeah, but it's called something else.
But it's the something Stratton story. And he busts his ankle when he wants to try out for the majors. And
Right. And he says, give me a shot.
The only thing I didn't like about that one was it just followed that easy trope of making the preacher guy the worst person in the movie. The one who's supposed to be the best somehow is all the worst.
That is his dad, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's the thing.
What is it?
Oh, Stratton story is Jimmy Stewart. Okay.
No,
but I don't think that's it. Is that a baseball? Is that a okay, then that's it.
Okay.
But, all right. Well,
we'll figure out what
we're
the other
sorry ones. To our texture.
We just took him to another place.
Yeah. So we'll talk about your favorite baseball movie throughout the movie show today.
Did you know you can get the three things you need to know delivered right to you? Just go to KSLNewsRadio.com, click on menu, and then newsletter.
Or go to the KSL News Radio app, and you click on menu, and then it's email alerts.
This is even easier. Just text the word inbox to 57500.
Get the top national and local stories with the three things you need to know newsletter.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Movie Show.
It's a fake laugh.
It's real. On KSL News Radio.
We've been talking baseball movies. That's our text question of the day, is what's your favorite baseball movie? There's a lot to choose from, Steve. We've had a lot of people that have mentioned The Natural, a lot that have mentioned Field of Dreams. Your favorite is Bull Durham.
Yes.
Mine is The Natural.
Okay, here's what we got. Anthony Perkins, Fear Strikes Out.
Fear Strikes Out.
With Carl Malden.
Ooh.
What was the one you just mentioned? Oh, Eight Men Out.
Eight Men Out. John Cusack in a baseball movie.
Yeah.
Shoeless Joe. Now, there's another movie with a guy named Shoeless Joe. And that's the musical. Darn Yankees. I don't know if I'll get trouble saying it on the air.
Dadgum Yankees.
Dadgum Yankees. Anne Bancroft. You remember Anne Bancroft from The Graduate? She's in a baseball movie called The Kid from Left Field.
What?
1953.
I loved Anne Bancroft. She was so good in The Graduate.
There's the Bad News Bears trilogy from the 70s. Kind of went downhill after Bad News Bears.
Yeah.
But, and then it seems like it jumps to The Natural, Bull Durham, Major League, and Field of Dreams, Eight Men Out. These are the big ones from the 80s.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we love getting your suggestions. The Hill, by the way, is the one we were trying to remember on the air. One of our listeners helped correct us on that.
Dennis Quaid was the dad, and he was like the cranky preacher guy, right?
Yeah, so you think he would have more patience, being as he got that chance late in his life in the other movie.
But this is based on a true story, I believe.
Yes, from a kid in Texas.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's review us some more movies, Steve. We do have a couple that we need to get to that we actually were able to see, thankfully.
Hopefully.
So let's do In the Land of Saints and Sinners.
Oh, yeah.
I've been thinking in a lifetime of poor choices I've made.
How many people have you killed altogether?
There's more to me than that. I'd like folks to see it.
Trying to find a friend.
What's the name?
All right, so this is set in the 1970s in Northern Ireland, and it's a hired killer named Finbar, who's played by Liam Neeson. He grows a conscience after one of his final assignments, and he decides to retire from doing jobs assigned by Colm Meaney, who's like, I don't know if he's the mayor of the little burg. He's something there, but he also is kind of the crime boss of the town.
Yeah, taking care of little problems.
Yeah, you need somebody taken care of. You talk to Colm Meaney. He has some people that can get that done.
Finbar.
And Finbar is one of them. But this is also around the time of the beginning of the conflict in Northern Ireland.
What do they call it?
The Troubles.
Yes.
And at any rate, so Finbar decides he's going to run a bar in his little town. But when some IRA fighters come to town, it looks like Finbar might need his special set of skills again.
Well, the movie starts with an incident where they're trying to take out somebody that the IRA does not like, and some kids end up getting killed, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, no, you know really quickly it's going to be a darker kind of a movie.
And it's Carrie Condon, who I love.
Yes, and I was trying to figure out what I had seen her in. She's actually the voice of Friday.
She's in
Tony Stark's armor.
She's in the Banshees of Inner Sharon.
Yes, that's right.
She turns down.
That's what I saw her.
She turns down the Saltburn guy.
Monaghan.
Yeah.
Barry Keoghan.
Keoghan.
So, for this one, I thought it was okay, but not great. It was slow-paced. It's an action-revenge movie, and it's Liam Neeson. So, if those two things already perk your ears up, then I bet you'll enjoy this. I thought Carrie Condon specifically played her role. I wrote this down this way. A certain unhinged fierceness with occasional moments of weird levity. Sometimes she was funny, but she was also terrifying.
Exactly, and some of the terrifying things she said were funny.
Yeah, so it's this weird combination of things. I love the vistas of the Irish countryside.
Oh, yeah.
And Liam Neeson, he's smooth. He's the good guy, but, like, he's somebody who can make you say, like, I shouldn't be rooting for him because he's done some terrible things.
Yeah.
But you end up rooting for him.
Well, especially when you see where he ends up putting all the...
Oh, he plants a forest, and that'll make sense when you see the movie.
Yeah, that was odd. So, to me, Liam Neeson's played these duck out of water where he's, like, in New York or somewhere. How about putting the duck in the water where he's actually in Ireland where he can do the most damage? And I really liked this movie. I gave it a B.
See, I was a little bit lower than that. I gave it a C+. I was fine getting through it, but I probably will never watch it again.
I love Liam Neeson. I thought this was a very kind of a nuanced role for him.
I will say this. I liked it better than the one last year where he was driving the car with the cell phone.
Retribution? Or?
Yeah. And then I liked it for sure better than his one where he's the plow driver.
Oh.
And they're making a second one, Cold Pursuit 2 or Cold Fury or whatever
it
is.
It's an easy make. I mean, come on.
I know, but didn't he retire from these movies like four different times?
Oh, 10 years ago he says, I'm done. I'm done doing these action films.
Well, so I gave it a C+. It is rated R.
Yeah.
And you gave it a
B.
A B. So that is
and
In the Land.
It's got a lot of cool Irish in it.
It is. And I will say, I was watching it with a computer pulled up and was trying to read up on the history of the IRA and the troubles.
Yeah.
And it actually helped me understand some of the things they were saying. Because they're saying it with an Irish brogue and they're not going to explain to you what all the terms are.
It's not as bad, though, as a super Scottish where you can't understand a thing they're saying. At least I can follow this one a little better.
Okay, so that is In the Land of Saints and Sinners starring Liam Neeson. Now, really quick, Steve, because neither of us saw it, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2. Do we have any audio?
There's some unsettling similarities to the Hundred Acre Massacre.
It's not safe. There have been loads of murders being dashed down.
Tell me everything you saw, please.
I knew this day would come.
Is it bad that I'm laughing at first of the idea of it, and then the idea of the Hundred Acre Woods Massacre, like words you never thought were going to be in a sentence?
Well, here's the funny part. Once it became public domain, then they can do whatever they want with Winnie the Pooh, just can't make it look like Disney.
Correct.
So they made that as a joke, the first one, and everybody loved it. So they go, well, what do we do next? Well, let's have Winnie the Pooh go after Christopher Robbins and his buddies.
Can't believe we're saying this.
Make the Tigger go with him, and they're very upset.
Wonderful thing about Tiggers is Tiggers are murderous things.
So you can't even talk like that because that's
Disney. That's true. That would be infringement. Oh, well, then what's the point?
Because it's stupid. And actually, I've heard that this one is better than the first one because the first one was a joke, and this one they took more seriously.
That is a low bar to clear. But of course, I haven't seen it, so. Don't send me angry texts.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, and that is rated R.
Shockingly.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Movie reviews and Hollywood news. The KSL Movie Show.
Steve, we were talking off air. Unfortunately, we got the sad news today that Oscar winner Louis Gossett Jr. passed away.
Yeah,
he was 87 years old and was the first African-American man to win an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor in An Officer and a Gentleman. Unfortunately, most of his clips,
I can do it.
Movie,
I can do one.
You think?
I want your DOR, boy. No, sir. Because that's DOR dropped on request. He was in a officer's candidate school for a 12-week program, and he just hated because he thought he was such a scammer. That's Mayo.
I'm going to give it a shot and see if I can play this clip using my headphones here. I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm going to try because we wanted to hear from Louis Gossett Jr. Nah, it's not going to work because I don't even know where the speaker is, to be honest. But I can hear it myself. No. So anyway, RIP, unfortunately, we lost Louis Gossett Jr. I remember him from Iron Eagle. That was the first movie I ever saw him in.
His last movie is going to be If. He's the voice of one of the imaginary characters in what's his face?
That's great. So coming out in May.
Yeah, that'll be his last performance. But he was also in the new Color Purple. He was one of the old guys on the front porch.
That's right.
Hanging out. But, yeah, Enemy Mine and Officer and a Gentleman were his two huge films.
All right. Well, let's do, Steve, switch gears a little bit to, I guess, a little more upbeat, the movie show Top 10.
The KSL Movie Show, Top 10. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Steve, number 10 on the list, still hanging out. Bob Marley, One Love.
Done really well.
It succeeded.
It has. 174 million worldwide.
Enjoyable movie. My biggest complaint was just that I struggled to understand a lot of what they were saying.
Yeah, that whole reggae thing was...
I'm looking forward to watching it when I can turn subtitles on myself, because I'd watch it again.
That'd be helpful.
Number 9, we have Cabrini. When we were talking to Julie from NPS, she loved it. My father-in-law loved it. I loved it.
Well, it's an inspiring film. I think Julie said it best. She said, it's just so inspiring. I just wanted it to keep going.
And it was a reminder of what good people can do. I'm going to say that I'm biased towards movies that promote good and that inspire you and show what people are capable of. I'm not a horror person, though I can appreciate some of the technical aspects. But I am a big fan of inspirational movies.
Sure.
Number 8, Love Lies Bleeding. Not an inspirational movie.
But a very interesting film. It's definitely off the wall. It's Tarantino-esque. David Lynch kind of movie.
And some people really, really are loving this one.
Yeah, because it's got Kristen Stewart in it.
Yes, and she is, you might forget, if all you think of is her in Twilight, then you're really underselling what her acting ability is.
She's done a dozen good movies since then.
And now, we talked about If.
Oh.
But we've got Imaginary, which is at number 7, which is not.
Not to be confused with Imaginary Friends, although it is an imaginary friend.
Yes. Okay, so let's put it this way. It's easily confused by title and sort of idea, but this is a horror movie that I saw and was, it wasn't the worst, but my teen daughter, it got her so nervous she talked to herself through the whole movie. but that one, it wasn't really my cup of tea.
You've been watching some horror movies.
Thanks. You're making me.
Well, yeah, right. Kicking and screaming.
Number 6, Late Night with the Devil, which I saw. You're not going to watch this one.
No.
So Davis Dasmalkian. It's a clever way, and I will say this. It takes the whole movie to build up the tension for the horror payoff. So... if you're on the fence but you don't like horror, I would say stay away.
Is the payoff worth it?
Well, it's a bonkers payoff.
Okay.
But you're not going to have that through the whole movie. It's going to like lead up to it.
Well, to me, sometimes the best horror movies are the suspenseful ones.
Yeah, and it's weird. It's weird. Number 5, Arthur the King. I really like this one.
Loved this movie. It's, you know, a cute dog that wants to hang out with these runners and just a
crazy dog. Runners.
Yeah, it's Mark Wahlberg. Come on.
Number 4. Immaculate. I didn't see this one.
Yeah, this was the trade-off.
Dude, you yellow.
I am yellow when it comes to these.
Wow. Yeah, no, this was a nun
Thanks,
who goes
Mad
to
Mad Dog Tannen.
An Italian convent and becomes pregnant. How does that happen?
Well, you really don't want to know, most of you.
And you don't want to stick
around for the
third
act. You don't
want
to know what happens when the baby's born either. Number 3, Kung Fu Panda 4.
Yeah.
My kids contributed to this one last week.
Yeah. They liked it, didn't they?
Yeah. So the younger they got, the more they liked it. And as I've talked to people, the older they got, the less they've enjoyed Kung Fu Panda 4, especially compared to the other three.
Yeah.
Number 2, Dune Part 2.
Yeah, to me, this was a pretty good film. I have to admit, I thought the first one was pretty much set up. This one was all the action and good stuff.
I'm always sad because I think I did the thing where I built it up too much. It's my movie of the year so far, and it's going to take something major to knock it out of the top spot. My younger brother was like, it was eh.
Oh, really?
He's like, I liked it, but I think you built it up too much. And I was like, No, I didn't want to do that.
That's the problem.
And then number one, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Yeah, it's made $71 million in a week or
in
so.
A week.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it. It is what it is. It was funny, and it the kids enjoyed it, and that's who it was. I really feel like that's who it was aimed at. There was a few fan service homages to people like us who've seen it.
A lot of fan service.
Well, right.
And I thought they tried to do too many characters.
So that is the Movie Show Top 10, sponsored by Call Climate Services.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Planning a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Andy and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
Well, as the theaters kind of just gave up and let Godzilla vs. Kong Part 2, the new empire of punching and roaring, take over the theaters, streaming has got a lot of stuff out today, part for Easter weekend and part just because I guess they think people are going to be home on Easter weekend a little bit, and they want to have some stuff for them to
watch.
Maybe
they saw the weather report? Who knows?
That could be. And I tell you what, it was raining. It's raining hard in New York this week, so it's not just here in Utah, yeah. All right, so let's lead off our big streaming reviews today with one called A Gentleman in Moscow.
State your names.
Alexander Ilyich Rostov.
Occupation.
It's not the business of gentlemen to have occupations.
Your class is a threat against Russia. Therefore, it is the judgment of this committee that you be returned to the Metropole Hotel.
I never knew that Ewan McGregor's accent was Russian.
That's what a great actor he is.
No, that was his Scottish accent for sure. But
yeah, I don't think he tried to do Russian. But this is a story about the aristocrats after the 1917 revolution. They were
the Rasputin.
They were killing them off. I mean, it's just you're done. But he wrote a poem that the revolutionaries thought was kind of cool. So his punishment is he has to live in this hotel for perpetuity. He can't leave.
So he's like Julian Assange?
Yeah, kind of, except... you know, the best food. They still treat him like he's royalty. He's a count. But they just like, you slip up. Just even think about walking out the little revolving doors. You're dead.
So even a gilded prison is still a prison.
It is, exactly. And then he meets the story. It's a series of, I think, 7 or 8 episodes. The first one, he meets a young girl who's there with her family. I don't know. I think they're also royalty. So they're really, you know, it's funny. I didn't understand why they wouldn't just shoot him. Because, you know, like, why go to all that trouble?
Because they had class back in the early 1900s.
All right, well, I'll go with that.
They were horrible racists, but they had class.
But if you walked out those doors, done.
Yeah, and this was in Russia.
This is in Russia. So, yeah, he plays this.
So the Tsar has fallen?
Yep. The Bolsheviks have taken over, and you better not mess with him.
Ewan McGregor, and from what I understand, his real-life wife, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, will be joining up in the series.
She comes up at some point, but not in the first episode. The mustache, by the way, is real, although it looks like Perot. In fact, What's-His-Face was supposed to be in this part.
Kenneth Branagh?
Yeah, Kenneth Branagh.
Really?
Yeah, he was supposed to do it.
Isn't he related to Ewan McGregor?
I don't know.
I feel like they're related
somehow. But I think maybe they wanted to hire him because of his mustache, but... Ewan.
That was the prerequisite.
Ewan
we're,
said.
We're searching for in the casting call. We need someone with a really crazy mustache. Kenneth Branagh.
Yeah, well, apparently Ewan can grow one too, and it is like a big old bushy thing.
Wow. Yeah. I hope it's real. All right, it is
definitely real.
That is A Gentleman in Moscow, and it is on Paramount Plus, is what I'm seeing.
Sure, let's go with that.
Sounds good. Okay. Now, let's talk about.
By the way, Showtime/Paramount+.
Oh, so this is the one where you have to have the Showtime add-on for Paramount Plus. It is a thing. Okay. I pay for the commercial free, which allows me to get Showtime also.
Wow.
Well, I just don't like commercials on my stream.
Fly to New York? What's going on here, Mr. Trump?
Well, let me twirl my own rich man's mustache. All right, let's talk about the Testament, the story of Moses.
That is true.
dream.
Shadow of a man surrounded by darkness.
Someone approaches, my lady. A stranger, yet he knows your heart.
My son has returned. It's forces.
So with it being Passover week and Easter weekend, celebrations for a lot of different people, I think some will probably be interested in this new series. It's on Netflix called Testament, the Story of Moses. Now, it's technically a documentary. In fact, it says a Netflix documentary at the beginning of it. But
does it have reenactments?
As you watch these clips, there's reenactments, but it's like dramatized reenactments, like full-on produced music, acted. It's,
so technically not a documentary.
No, it is. Because here's the thing. Interspersed with these clips, you get, it feels like a scripted drama, but then you listen to the narrator saying, from Moses, all of a sudden you get these cut scenes with scholars, Christian, Jewish, and Muslim scholars who pop in giving commentary. So that's when it feels like a documentary.
Okay.
But the closest thing I can liken it to is if you took the Ten Commandments and then chopped it up into the different scenes that the scholars were going to talk about, and you'd show that scene and then have the scholars talk about it.
Okay.
Now, another interesting part of this is the series creators note at the beginning in a title card that it says they're not implying that the different commenters agree with each other. There's not a consensus among them as to what each part means, but it's just they said that having everyone's commentary enriches the story, and I agreed. It's three episodes of about an hour and a half each. So it's basically the length of watching the Ten Commandments on broadcast TV.
Oh,
remember, it would start at like 5 p.m. and end at 10 p.m. back in the day?
It's an all-day sucker.
It really was. But this, I thought it was really well done, and I learned some stuff, you know, beyond what I had learned from the Ten Commandments and my own reading of the Bible. And, and you know, especially some of the you know, this is... He's one of the few prophets that the three major Abrahamic faiths, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism,
they all
agree on that he was a prophet. And so it was really cool to get all these different perspectives. And sometimes there will be extra scriptural, traditional things that some of the faiths believe that I thought made it very, very interesting.
Okay, I would have watched that, but Renegade Nell hooked me. And I ended up watching all eight episodes till the middle of the night.
All right. So I really liked Testament Story of Moses. I gave it a B. Let's talk about Renegade Now.
I am on the run for murder.
She shot him.
I did it. It was him.
Shouldn't you tie us up?
She fights as though she's possessed. Something happens to me and I'm untouchable.
Yeah. So this is a colonial era adventure series. It's set in the
1700s. 1705, yeah.
But it's in England.
Yep.
So it's pre-America.
Right.
But it's in England. And this is technically based on a real person from English history.
Kinda.
But the things that happen are definitely not based on real history.
Well, remember we talked about that Dick Turpin movie or series that came out. That was hysterical, and it was more Monty Python-esque.
And it was a satire.
Yeah. And this one, though, she is a highway woman robbing people, and sort of like Dick Turpin was. But there's a darker element to it. There's a family of really super rich people who kind of run this village. And the son is a real jerk, and he ends up killing people. And some guy's horse, just for no reason. You know, he's a giant.
He's a trust fund baby.
Exactly.
He really is.
Yeah. And so.
And he needs access to his trust fund.
Yeah. And so this one guy's kind of evil, blah, blah, blah. And there's some dark arts involved, so it has a little Harry Potter feel to it. But it's even darker than that. I was kind of surprised.
Oh, see, now I only got through one episode.
Yeah, this gets
because I ran out of time.
Dark.
Really?
I mean, except that, you know, she gets blamed for murdering somebody, and then now she's famous. She's in all the tabloids back in 1705.
And it's Louisa Harland. If you've seen Derry Girls, she's in Derry Girls.
Oh, I have not, but she was good. I really liked her.
Yeah, she does. She made a believable action hero.
Huh.
I thought.
The fight scenes are amazing.
And Nick Mohammed is in it from Ted Lasso.
Yeah, get what he's like a little pixie that kind of turns
into
a spark.
It's like the male Tinkerbell.
And he flies into her mouth and she turns into a superhero. I mean, like, what?
As weird as that sounds, that is exactly what happens.
That's exactly what happens.
I'm not kidding you. So.
Yeah, and they build a relationship over time.
I thought it would. Okay, so I just saw the one episode, but my notes from it was well-paced, decently exciting, and decently believable action hero from Louisa Harland.
Yeah.
And it was pretty enjoyable, but I didn't get all the way through.
Well, I did.
And you say it takes a darker turn. Okay.
It does take a turn, but it's not like, you know, hideous, but it definitely has a little Harry Potter with a little extra.
And this is on Disney Plus, so it's one where maybe if you've got, you know, 8, 9, 10-year-olds, maybe not for the 10-year-olds, maybe more for the teenagers and up.
Yeah, I mean, there's some real devil-y kind of stuff going on towards the end.
Okay.
That Nell has to fight through. But there's a sweetness to it also. It's kind of a weird, like, it's funny 1 minute and then really, like, serious the next.
Oh, yeah. I really tell you what, in the one episode I saw, the murder that she's framed for, I was like, well, that's a bit savage.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
So that is called Renegade Nell. It is rated TV-14, just for parents who want to know. That one is on Disney+. Testament, the Story of Moses, is on Netflix. And just a reminder that Gentleman in Moscow is on Paramount+.
Showtime/Paramount+.
That's correct. And if you have Showtime, I believe you can watch it each week on the over-the-air cable part two.
Okay.
So that is first half of our big streaming review. We still have a couple more that we're going to talk about, including a documentary about the great comedian Steve Martin coming up.
Loved it.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Movie Show. It is not a donut hole, but a smaller donut with its own hole. And our donut is not a hole at all. On KSL News Radio.
We're talking big streaming reviews right now. We've mentioned A Gentleman in Moscow, Testament, The Story of Moses, and Renegade Nell. Now let's talk about one on Apple TV Plus called Steve Martin, a documentary in two pieces.
Yes, yes, yes.
This guy was getting people so happy.
I always thought, this just does not happen. And it did.
He's the most idolized comedian ever.
So it's a two-part documentary. That's why it says a documentary in two pieces. One called Then and one called Now. Why the distinction? Well, because the guy's been around for over 50 years in the spotlight.
Did you see both of them?
I only saw the first one.
Oh, okay.
I was hoping to watch the second one, but I had terrible reception at the airport and couldn't stream it.
Checks out. Well, the difference is he was quite the introvert, and yet his act was so over the top that it was just mind-blowing. And yet it... That's the then. Then the second part of the now, he kind of reflects back and he goes, yeah, I kind of freaked out. I at one point, I think it was in 1980, he just quit.
Yeah, I was surprised to learn he has not toured since 1980.
Right. And he just, because he's an introvert, and he said, my life changed so dramatically. He did get married at one point, and then they got divorced, and he was just devastated by that because... I mean, this was when he was
people
old.
Would ask him when he was originally touring, like, "Why? What's your story on the love life?" He's like, "Well, you don't want to get married and say, okay, hon, I'll see you in 3 months. I'm touring for this."
Which was a convenient excuse for him because he really, later on, though, he did remarry and has a young girl, a baby girl that he wouldn't show on camera. It's kind of cute. They have, like, a stick drawing anytime she shows up, and it, like, superimposes over her because he didn't want her to have to be on camera, which I thought was kind of cute.
Uh-huh. But Steve Martin, you know, I didn't know that he did stand-up. Like, when he was doing stand-up, I was, like, really little. And I started, I think the first movie I saw him in was either Roxanne or Three Amigos. Like, that was the first time that I knew it was Steve Martin. And I'd heard of him. I knew I'd heard something about Saturday Night Live, but I learned that as I went along. So the now one is the one I'll probably relate to. But what I found so fascinating about then was this was all stuff I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't realize that he found out that, because I've only known him with white hair. So it was weird to see him with dark hair.
Yeah.
But that ends up being a key part of his career. He's like, I'm going to give myself till I'm 30. And then if I can't be successful when I'm 30, I quit. He literally had the big successful break like 2 months before he turned 30.
Exactly.
And he realized that if he lets his hair go gray, his jokes, he could do the exact same act. But when people thought he was older, it suddenly was funnier to them.
No question. And then when you get to the now part, also they talk about his relationship with his father, which was devastating.
Oh, yeah. His dad would not give him a compliment for anything.
Yeah, like he said,
he played
after one of his acts.
8,000 people in a room.
And he said, well, you're no...
Benny Goodman or something?
No, it was Charlie Chaplin.
Oh.
Well, you're okay, but you're no Charlie Chaplin.
You know, I always wonder if these people, if they didn't have that negative thing that just hardened them.
Would they be as good?
Would they have turned out? So, like, because you don't want to give credit to the person who's a jerk.
Right.
And they don't deserve credit.
By the way, the jerk was good.
But sometimes you wonder, like, maybe part of the reason he was successful is trying to please the person that could never be pleased.
That's the age-old story. And when you look at
it. But don't use that as an excuse to be a jerk to somebody.
That's true. But when he looks at back. Again, this is in the now part. He has all the titles and all the screenplays, and he looks at him and he says, "I don't know if it was worth it." He goes, "Some of these movies I put my heart and soul in, like the Faith one, Leap of Faith."
Oh yeah,
oh that one bombed hard.
And then Pennies from Heaven. He spent like
my
6 months.
My Blue Heaven.
Pennies from Heaven.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It's an older one. He learned how to tap dance. And it's a great kind of a Broadway piece.
What's your favorite Steve Martin movie?
Well, it's our Telephone Torture
movie. Oh, there's a preview.
So I cannot say.
For Telephone Torture. All right, really quickly, let's talk about We Were the... Oh, by the way, Steve Martin, a documentary in two pieces, Apple TV+. I gave it a B+ for the half that I've seen.
I would agree with that.
Okay, so let's talk about We Were the Lucky Ones.
My family. Keep writing to them over and over. It's like I'm writing into a void.
The Germans are already at our doorstep.
It's getting worse.
All of Europe is a war zone.
All right, this is based on the best-selling New York Times book by Georgia Hunter about a Jewish family from Poland who separated at the beginning of World War II. They're determined to survive and reunite again someday. They're called the Kirk family. 1938 is where you get into the story. And then... the only people I recognized in the cast were Joey King, who was Ramona Quimby a decade ago, with Selena Gomez, who was Beezus. Anyway, and then Logan Lerman was the other person I recognized. But war is about to tear the family apart. This, to me, my real quick thoughts, it felt a lot like The Winds of War and War and Remembrance as far as, like, the sentiment and the feeling and the historical fiction kind of it. But it allows you to experience kind of what the World War II experience might have been like through their eyes. It wasn't an American military family. This is a Polish Jewish family.
Right.
But that it gave that vibe to me.
Yeah, I've still only seen the first episode, and I do like both of those young actors that you mentioned. To me, it's going to be wait and see. What
Joey King trying to do a Polish accent, though. I almost wonder if they should have just let her keep her American accent.
Yeah, sometimes accents can get you in so much trouble.
Maybe that's the only way they can imply that these people would be speaking Polish, and if you're speaking it with an American accent, then you would assume they're speaking.
This is TVMA, isn't it?
It is. I was going to point that out. This is there's some R-rated
sexuality.
Language and a little bit of sensuality in it. Although I haven't seen all the episodes, so there may be more of that. But a heads up, that one's called We Were the Lucky Ones, and... World War II is just such a rich field to
and
draw
that
from.
That is from Hulu.
It's on Hulu, yes.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The KSL Movie Show. Telephone Torture.
Telephone Torture, our favorite part of the show, where we ask you questions about a movie, and if you can answer it...
Do we? Really?
If you can answer it, you can win great prizes from the Megaplex Theaters from our friends at Megaplex Entertainment. We only have one prize to give away this weekend.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And it's the standard excellent date night movie package.
Super prize.
Which we love, except for when there's something better, and then I will put the hard sell on the something better.
That's exactly what you do.
So today's theme for Telephone Torture, in honor of Steve Martin, a documentary in two pieces.
Which is fantastic.
Yes. And if you're a fan of Steve Martin, we really recommend that you check it out. Or if you're a fan of comedians and comedy. Of course, if you're a fan of that, you've already known Steve Martin.
You've probably heard
of him.
If
the only thing you know of Steve Martin is watching him in Only Murders in the Building, then check out what he's done in the past in this documentary.
Which is weird because in the second part, he says... Who would have guessed that I'd have a hit TV show at age 70-something, whatever he is?
Yeah. 70. I wouldn't have guessed, but I love it.
Yeah.
And they're going to have another season of it. I think they're shooting it right now.
Yeah.
All right, so a Steve Martin movie. Sorry about that. And I know I have a mute button, and I just didn't press it.
All that work.
I just moved the microphone out of the way. Steve's got three questions. He picked the movie. And what we're going to do is, when you think you know the answer, we'll read the clues off on the air. When you think you know the answer, send in a text if you can't call. But we're going to take first shot at three callers, and we're going to ask. He's going to ask a question. We're going to take a caller, and we'll see if you know the answer. So, Steve, what is our first clue on a Steve Martin movie?
Okay. This movie was shot in the desert, and at one point, the director, John Landis, said, okay, we're ready to shoot this important scene with a special kind of plant. And the production designer said, uh-oh, he'd forgotten, drove to town, got the plant that he just grabbed something, to be honest, brought it back, they hooked it up, and Landis goes, perfect, let's shoot it.
And then it becomes a key part of the movie.
What is that movie?
All right, if you think you know the answer, 801-575-8255, 801-KSL-TALK. To take a shot, or you can text us at 57500, but remember, if you don't get it right, or even if you get it right on the text, we're only going to give the award to the first person if we don't get a caller who wins. Do we have a caller on the line ready to take a shot at this? All right, who's this?
I'm Mike Crudell.
Mike, are you ready? What do you think?
I'm gonna just take a guess. Father of the Bride?
Father of the Bride, is that correct, Corey?
Is that even a Steve Martin movie?
That is a Steve Martin. Well, there's two versions of Father of the Bride, but that is one of his more famous ones from the 90s.
And he did a follow-up to that movie.
Which should have been Father's Little Dividend, but they called it Father of the Bride 2.
Two.
Corey, was that the correct answer, Father of the Bride?
No.
Mike, good guess, but that is incorrect.
The key word here in the first clue was desert.
Desert. All right, I have a clue.
Not dessert.
Can I give a clue?
Yeah, sure.
This movie is one of the most quoted movies in movie show history, in the movie show history. It was quoted all the time, in particular one line, and in particular one word.
Yes.
Do you want to give the word and give it all away?
Yeah, why not? Would you say we have a plethora?
I just think you shouldn't go using a word if you do not know what that word means.
Or perhaps you're very upset because she did not like you.
All right, do we have a caller who wants to make a guess? Oh, we've got lots of text. We got a lot of correct textures.
We totally gave this away. Andrew.
Who's this? Hello, who's this?
Are you talking to me? Mally.
Mally.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. I don't see anybody else here. Okay, what's your guess, Mally?
Well, I never heard the actual question, but I'm going to go with Three Amigos.
Well, that makes it even more ridiculous, the fact that
is
we
that
thought
correct,
we gave
Gustavo
it away.
Gustavo and Corey. Mally, congratulations.
Wow. You just felt it? Or I don't know, I'm just curious.
What's your favorite line from Three Amigos?
I don't have one, but what you guys were saying just before that gave it away to me.
Give that it's the most quoted line from a most quoted movie on the movie show?
Yes.
Thought I'd do an easy one this week because everybody's like, dude, quit picking these obscure movies that no one's ever seen.
We thought you were going to pick like My Blue Heaven or something where, you know, 12 people saw it. What was the one you were saying?
Leap of Faith. Oh, Pennies from Heaven.
Pennies from Heaven. See, I hadn't even heard of that one.
Great movie.
Mally, go ahead.
My Blue Heaven was a good movie. It was fun.
Yeah.
Rick Moranis. It was one of his last ones, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, congratulations. Stay on the line. You've won the Megaplex prize pack of...
Oh, two tickets to any movie, two drinks, a tub of popcorn. Come on. There you go.
So stay on the line. They'll get your information, and that is thanks to our good friends at the Three Amigos. By the way, my brother guessed after the first clue, Three Amigos, because... he loves the movie, and he texted me, but he can't win.
I get this song in my head. My little
buttercup has the sweetest smile. All right, so thank you for playing Telephone Torture. We'll have great prizes again next week.
We are the Three Amigos.
My favorite line, honestly, is when guys reel bullets, and then they realize they're going to kill us. They start crying.
El Guapo, he kills men. He does not kill crying women. And he's they're like, thank you, thank you.
Oh, that's funny.
Did I not thank our good friends at Megaplex? Oh, okay.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the world famous KSL Movie Show on KSL News Radio.
For our final segment, Steve, we're going to talk about a couple of, or we're just going to give a quick mention to a couple that we didn't have, either didn't get a chance to watch or didn't have time on the show today. So let's start. You did watch The Truth versus Alex Jones on Max.
Yes, HBO Max. This is a story about, after 10 years from Sandy Hook, the families were sick and tired of hearing on InfoWars about how it was all a hoax. And he finally admitted, he goes, I'm really sorry. I get it. It did happen. But they made so much money and they sold so much product on InfoWars. He kind of said, well, I thought maybe this might be a problem, but now I realize I made a mistake. The judgment, it was over $950 million that he owes these families, and you know, they're never going to see that.
So that's The Truth versus Alex Jones, a documentary on Max. There's also a show on Prime Video called The Baxters that stars Roma Downey and, oh, you know what? I have it written down right there. I was trying to do this quick. Stars Roma Downey and Ted McGinley, and it's about, it's a 10-episode series based on a best-selling book series by Karen Kingsbury. It's a family drama that follows Roma Downey's character and her husband and their five adult kids, and then they find out that one of their daughter's husband has been having an affair with one of his students. Their relationship's tested, and then, it's built around the daughter kind of anchoring to the faith in the family to kind of get through something like that.
So where can we see that?
Even if this is on Prime Video, it's a faith-based journey. Roma Downey usually is because she's
touched by an angel.
Yeah, and that's called The Baxters on Prime Video.
Okay.
And then I didn't get to watch American Rust, Broken Justice, either season. You said you watched season one.
I did. I watched some of season one, and Jeff Daniels is the reason to watch that show.
Okay. We mentioned that there was a couple movies that were coming to theaters that we didn't get a chance to watch, including Remembering Gene Wilder at the Broadway.
Yes.
We also have one called Ennio.
Yeah, Ennio, the guy that did all the music for all the spaghetti westerns and some huge movies. Fellini, he was, that guy.
I can't even whistle. And then we have Limbo.
Limbo with Simon Baker from The Mentalist.
Okay, so those are playing at the Broadway, and we didn't get a chance to see those. So, to recap, though, on Rapid Fire. There we go. All right, the big movie of the week, Godzilla Times Kong, The New Empire. For me, this was a C. Did I give it a C+? You gave it a...
I gave it a C.
You gave it a C. I gave it a C+. It's exactly... If you already want to go see this, I think you'll enjoy it. If you're on the fence, if you want to see big creatures punching each other, they lose a little bit of perspective when they go to a world where everybody's huge. Then they're just regular-sized monsters fighting each other. But when they're punching each other in front of the pyramids and in Rio de Janeiro, that's when they feel massive.
Yeah, to me, this is an Americanized version of Godzilla, another one of these legendary productions. And I much prefer the minus... What? I can't read that.
Your digital review.
Oh, right. Yeah, I did a digital review, and you can go to kslnewsradio.com, and I've done Godzilla already, and then I'm going to do the Saints and Sinners, the Liam Neeson movie.
All right. Well, let's hear your quick thought on it's called In the Land of Saints and Sinners.
Well, I like the fact that Liam is back in Ireland, which is, you know, makes it a little bit cooler to me, and the whole thing is set there. But the thing I enjoyed about this was the kind of confusion between the IRA and the other people and who is on what side. And they're just killing indiscriminately,
true.
I thought.
And so especially those of us Americans who don't really know, most of us don't know a lot about the troubles
yes.
that went on for 20 years. And for me, it was a C+. I do like Neeson in it. I thought Carrie Condon was funny and psycho at the same time. And
she was in it to win it, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then we have Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2, which neither one of us saw.
Well, they go after Christopher in the real world, and it's not going to go well.
Then on streaming, we have A Gentleman in Moscow.
Starring Ewan McGregor. He's great in it. I have only seen the first episode, so we'll see where that goes.
Testament, the story of Moses on Netflix, which is a three-part, hour-and-a-half-each episode documentary, but it kind of plays like a dramatized movie, but then you get commenters from real scholars from three different faiths, the Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, as well as some scholars of like Egyptian studies and different things that really kind of enrich the story, even if, you know, maybe you'll hear some things about Moses that you hadn't heard before. I thought that enriched it rather than took away from it. Then we have Renegade Nell on Disney+.
This might be my pick of the week. I really enjoyed this. She is a tough, swashbuckling highway woman that has a crew just like Dick Turpin did in the other series. But this has a little darker tone. There's some dark arts, almost Harry Potter-ish kind of stuff that's going on behind the scenes.
A lighter tone in the first episode that you might think, oh, it's going to be like this, but then it takes a little bit of a dark twist. It is rated TV-14, just so, to keep that in mind, even though it is on Disney+.
Yeah.
And that's called Renegade Nell. Steve Martin, a documentary in two pieces on Apple TV+.
Eye-opening. I did not know half the things that I learned from this about what an introvert he is and just how thoughtful he is about his career. And I think that the second part of it was more... I knew the first part, but the second part really kind of got
And I'm
me.
The opposite. I knew the movie part, but didn't know much about his stand-up career, and it was fascinating to learn those things. We have We Were the Lucky Ones on Hulu and Disney+. It's on both of the services.
Yeah, these are Polish immigrants during World War II. Were they able to get out, get together? So that's...
And then we had the unfortunate news that Lou Gossett Jr. passed away today, the first black Oscar winner in the supporting actor category for An Officer and a Gentleman. I first saw him in Iron Eagle. He was in Enemy Mine. He's still got stuff coming up. He's in Color Purple at the end of last year.
And he's in If, the next Imaginary Friends movie with, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. So that is it for the movie show today, Steve. Next week, do we even have any movies next week? I bet we do.
We always do.
We'll always make sure we take care of you.
We got First Omen, Sugar, Monkey Man, Wicked Little Letters, and Someone Like You.
So, we'd love to wish you all a happy Easter this weekend from the movie show.
Yeah.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.